Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and I'm honored to have you here. This is the place where we talk about things that echo eternity and encourage everyone. Whether you're looking for powerful strategies to grow on your personal journey or the best tips to flourish in every area of your life, you're in the right spot. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and today we have Kelly Chu. She's a speaker, trauma-informed certified coach, mental health advocate, and limb difference advocate. Thank you so much for being here today, Kelly.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It is an honor. Little backstory. I met Kelly at a women's resilience retreat where we were both keynote speaking at, and I was so excited to hear her incredible story that I thought, okay, she must come and share with our listeners. So thank you for speaking at that event and for coming here too.
Yeah, no, it was really such a nice surprise to meet other speakers and you especially, and hearing your story as well. So yeah. Very appreciative.
Thank you, Kelly. Would you mind sharing with us how you became a trauma-informed certified coach?
Sure, yeah. So it's very fresh and new still, actually. I think it's just part of my journey where, like, last year, I feel like I've always wanted to take a trauma-informed course. That's where it started. And just to learn about my own trauma and just to get a better grasp of what that means and how it affects the body and mind and all that. And because it was always like a surface level information that I've learned and read about in articles and whatnot, or even talking to other people. So I really wanted to dive deeper. And so I was just looking online, and there's a lot of different courses, and I see a lot of courses as well on social media. So I think over the past summer, I really was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to just sign up and I want to quickly learn and deep dive into it. And I did. I found this really great program that offered a lot of different types of courses that are related to coaching as well. In different aspects of mental health and things like that. So they had a trauma-informed course. I took it, and it was, a summer course. And so it was a lot of information in such a small, short time frame that was coming at me. So I was, I don't know. I just really am fascinated by trauma, and I want to be able to speak about it, using the right terms or whatnot, and just learning about it. Again, there's so much information, so I'm still learning. But from there, I wanted to also not only understand my own trauma, but be able to put into words and describe it to other people about what trauma is and how it affects the body and mind for everyone, and how it is. It doesn't have to be an event, it's an experience, big or small. Like, it literally can be anything where we are facing trauma. And so I don't know, just that whole world fascinated me, and for me to be able to talk about it intelligently within my speaking career as well, since those are the elements of my story, my personal story. So and now I'm just wanting to do more of the coaching side of it. And that's where I'm kind of, it's still the beginning stages, and I'm still learning how to be a certified coach this year. So that's like really exciting, but I think my focus will be eventually trauma-informed coaching. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And your story is so powerful. I got to hear the really deep and powerful version at your keynote. And I know this is a shorter way to share your story. Would you please share a bit about your story? I just remember you sharing your story, and I had to look so closely at you because I did not even notice the physical trauma that you have endured or overcame. You are so confident and you exude so much beauty that I just didn't even notice that you went through something so arduous and challenging.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's so funny for you to say that because it's like we all have our stories and you can't tell from the outside. But yeah, just to kind of, in a nutshell, my story, my personal story, I was in a car accident. I was 21 years old and I was studying abroad in Australia. And within a couple months of my program, I got into a really bad car accident that left me with severe permanent injuries, and specifically to both my hands, where I was, in the hospital for 1 month. I had 3 major surgeries in Australia, and then I had to quit my program essentially and go back to California to finish up my home, to finish up more surgeries and occupational therapy. But essentially what happened was both my hands were injured and were basically crushed, specifically my left hand, and my right hand has ulnar nerve damage. So they basically had to reconstruct both of them, both my hands, by taking nerve, muscle, and skin from my right leg. And so those were the major surgeries, major injuries that I sustained from the car accident. And so that's basically my story. And then it was a 4-year recovery period and, learning how to do things again with my hands and adapting to certain ways of like getting dressed and like the normal routine and, brushing my hair and things like that. So it was a long recovery, but now I'm back in action, I guess. And it's been so long, and I've just learned so much from that time. And it's really made me who I am today.
Your story is so powerful, and you went through such a hard time and you kept persevering through it. Is that how you became a limb difference advocate?
Yeah, definitely. So this was in 2012, my accident happened in 2010, but like during my recovery, I was trying to find community, find other people who were in similar situations, who look like me. And social media wasn't as big as it is today. Back then. And so it was really like in 2012, like those early days of Instagram. And then like actually just maybe a couple years ago, or like not even maybe like 5 years ago or so, I was looking at other communities online and saw limb difference. And well, specifically limb loss, limb difference communities. And it was filled with people, children included, who were telling their stories and sharing their insights of how it feels to be disabled, how it feels to have a limb difference. I had no idea until then what limb difference meant or the fact that I have a limb difference. And so it was really that light bulb moment of like, oh, wow, I really identify as having a limb difference, and which made me feel so good. I mean, this is what I've been wanting and looking for so long, just like a community that look like me, who are dealing with similar situations and circumstances and whatnot. It was very, very nice and freeing to find that community. And now I just want to be a voice for them. Representation is so, so important. So I just want to do what I can as a limb difference advocate now.
I'm so glad that you found that community and that all of you together celebrate doing life and advocating for each other. How does somebody find a similar community or join this one?
There's so many different kinds. I've actually recently became an ambassador for one of them, for one of the organizations. And this happened maybe earlier last year. And I don't know. I felt like I really put myself out there in terms of reaching out to all of these different ones. And it was really through, Instagram and messaging and saying, hey, I want to share my story and I want to help in any way I can or just volunteer or whatnot I can do. Just recently I became an ambassador for one of them. It's called Moxie Adaptive. And since joining as an ambassador, we've just been fundraising and also having in-person events throughout the nation. It depends on whoever, where we all live, the ambassadors, but I hope to do more of those or just plan those out where people can meet each other with limb differences in real time, in person, and connect. And so, that's basically how I found them. It's just through Instagram. And I met them in real life. And we had a retreat, like a disability retreat, which was really cool and really exciting to tell our stories to each other.
That is wonderful. I'm so glad that you guys got together to do a retreat. I'm just coming back from a women's retreat. And so to think about one that was within your community is so beautiful. And that's something that I hope everyone that is able to identify with this, that they could go to a retreat too. Mm-hmm. So Kelly, you talk about how you use the power of gratitude mm-hmm. as a stepping stone to help people through their trauma and overcoming that. Would you please speak a bit about gratitude and how that shaped your journey and how you've seen it impact others through their trauma?
Sure. Yeah. For me personally, it was really the time when I was recovering and figuring out, what kind of starting from the beginning of like, what can I do now with my newly constructed hands and, adapting first and foremost and accepting what had happened and just my new identity, essentially my new life. So it was really during those moments, that period, I was also remembering how grateful I am for what I can do versus what I cannot do. So it was gradually, I don't know, just like that period, it wasn't just one day where I'm like, oh, this is what it means to practice gratitude. What does gratitude mean to me and whatnot? It really happened gradually for me of just remembering, I don't know, what helped was just journaling all of my thoughts, laying them all on paper of like even my frustrations, but like remembering what I do have, who are the people in my life. And that helped kind of structure this future, like this vision for myself of walking into gratitude and filling myself up with gratitude. And that intention, like holding that intention, really helped overcome those struggles and overcome the bad days. Just essentially just a new way of looking at life. So that was my journey with gratitude and practicing gratitude. I always tell others, especially when speaking about gratitude, to just make a list of things, like how I did, almost journaling, and make a list of all that you have. And I don't know. I don't know what else. Like just putting, also just making like, thinking of all the memories too. Like what helps me is just also looking at photos and videos and just remembering how beautiful life is, reminding ourselves that it is beautiful if we take a closer look and just look at what is versus what's not. And so I think that's what I always kind of speak about to others.
That is gold. Gratitude is gold. I was overcoming situational depression when I moved in July. I thought that maybe my vitamin D levels were low. And it was right before I actually met you that I was coming out of it. And my nurse practitioner had me journal every day, morning and night, and speak the words out loud, everything that I was grateful for from doing life through getting out of a divorce and having a new beginning and graduating with my degrees and everything that I was able to be resilient through, she wanted me to focus on and speak it out loud. And so I thought that was neat. I had never tried the out loud version of journaling, but it really started to snap me out of it pretty quickly. And I can see you light up with your big smile. For those of you listening, if you want to see it, hop on to the YouTube version. But Kelly's lighting up with joy as she's recalling the gratitude that she felt from journaling. So I second that. I think that it's a wonderful strategy to help you through any sort of trauma and to bring the joy into it. And I love that you're thinking back about the beautiful memories that you had. So what would you say to someone who maybe they lost something, like they never had it, maybe they were born without something? I know that through grief, sometimes it's you had something and then you lost it, or maybe you didn't have it to begin with and it's a longing. What would you say is something someone can start with to move forward and grow and go on the path for healing when facing this?
I think, well, I was also going to mention just staying present. And I think it's like our minds are pretty, we think all the time and we're always with our thoughts. And so it can get to us. And it can get dark. And I just think as long as we try to stay present, like just thinking what's in front of us, what am I doing today? Not even thinking about yesterday or tomorrow plans, but like today and giving today all of what we have, all of our energy. Again, this falls under practicing gratitude I'm grateful for today that I'm here and I get to do these things, or I, you know, just simple, but it can be simple. It can be simply like I get to go outside or take a walk or just lay in bed or just watch TV or just simple things like that, just staying present versus thinking too far ahead and thinking about like, oh, what do I not have? Or I wish I had this. I wish it went this way. I wish my life looked like this. So just staying present with yourself. And of course, also just not comparing yourself to other people, because everyone has a different journey. Everyone is meant for a different journey. And so I think just remembering that it's important.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes. That is so important to stay present. Each day has enough of its own going on. So when somebody gets to a really dark place, like you mentioned, which can happen with trauma or life, what is something that you'd say they can do to start to get out of that really dark place?
Well, I think what's first important is just being self-aware. Like I think it's like self-awareness, I feel, is always the first step, but can be missed, like just not even talked about so much. But just having self-awareness is just the biggest start. Like it's just the number one thing. It's so powerful in itself, just being self-aware of like, and this is what I learned in my trauma-informed course, if like when you're in that dark place, okay, why, you know, start questioning it too. Like, why am I feeling this way? What is it that I'm feeling? It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to have these thoughts. To validate it is important as well. Instead of thinking like oh, I'm depressed, or like putting a label on it or whatnot. I think it's always vital to be self-aware of these thoughts that we have and that we're in this dark place, and it's okay to be in a dark place. But like maybe being self-aware of like, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? You know, making choices or lining up choices for yourself and these thinking of all of these different options of where you want to go from here. Do you want to work on this, or maybe not today or not tomorrow, but maybe next week? Yeah. And again, like just questioning, what does it mean? why am I feeling this way? Maybe I need to talk to someone who's been there, or maybe I need to, again, journal on this, or maybe I need to go into a different atmosphere, and that, you know, the mood will change. And so I don't know, there's all these different things that you can do. I just think that just being self-aware is so important, being self-aware to it, your feelings, and validating it for yourself.
Yes, I'm thinking about riding the waves, how there's the highs and the lows. And at least when I went surfing in Hawaii and I'd get pummeled by the waves, it was so much more enjoyable to be present and feel it and just let it happen than to try and fight it.
Yeah.
And so I'm also thinking about the sunshine, the rainbows that come after a storm, and how, like you said, it's okay when the dark times happen. It's normal in life when there's hard times, and it's going to get better. It's not always going to be like this. Mm-hmm. The self-awareness is so important, and you have so much wisdom that you got, and it's very inspiring to hear you speak about all of this. What does it look like when you're coaching someone?
Well, I mean, again, to be honest, I'm still getting into the beginning stages of coaching, specifically trauma-informed coaching. But a couple years, and I haven't coached in a while, just in general, like mindset coaching I used to do. And so that was a couple of years ago. But I think, yeah, it depends on the program that I create. But I guess just, I mean, it's more of like, I want to be a cheerleader. I want to guide someone to discover their self-awareness, to discover a lot of different things, to just be on their, like, just tag along on their own journey. And get to that place where they feel they're living to their full potential. And, you know, I had this program called Limitless Living, and knowing that there are no limits. You don't need to limit yourself. You can go as far as you want to in life, and you have all of these decisions to make and all of these options to choose from. So, So, I mean, coaching starts there basically, and having like this awareness and openness. But just me wanting to be someone who I needed when my life turned upside down, feeling lost, feeling scared, afraid to start over, you know. I want to be able to help people just not be afraid of that, basically, and to have this open mind of, in this freeing mind of like, we can, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. and really look at that and accept it and feel it. I think people just get kind of distracted, or, you know, by the noise of like what, you know, what we're supposed to do. This is what my journey is supposed to look like. I'm comparing it to other people, but that's like the basic of the basic foundation for me, for as a coach, is to be able to help people and guide people, be a cheerleader for them, and have them understand that there is no limit, that they can do whatever they want to do in life. And there are, yeah, they are, they have so many options. And it doesn't have to look like other people. It should be their own unique journey.
That is powerful coaching. Is this program that you mentioned by the same author of Limitless, Nick?
No. This was just a program that I created on my own.
Oh, you created this program. Okay, this is awesome. I've got to look at this program you created. Okay, I'm so excited to look at this. And I mentioned Nick because I was in California with my friend at a restaurant, and we went up and looked at this beautiful hotel, and I ran into the man without limbs.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of him, Nick Viacek? I might be mispronouncing his last name.
That sounds familiar. I'm sure I'll recognize him if I see him. But I think I know who you're talking about, but yeah.
It was such an honor. That's cool. I was like, Nick? And he said, do you want a picture?
Oh, cool.
And I said, I didn't want to intrude, but I accepted. And so that was really great. I got to thank him. He's inspired me and motivated me with mindset thinking, and he's overcome so much, and his life story is incredible. So
cool.
That popped up into my brain. Yes.
That's awesome.
I saw that you gave a TEDx talk. That is so exciting and definitely a career goal for me. Mm-hmm. Would you please share with us about how you applied and how that experience was?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was a couple years ago, and this was when I was starting to get into speaking. And of course, you know, the community mic drop workshop was so helpful. Like, I've never met so many speakers, and just connecting with all of them in this Facebook group, but also individually offline. And anyway, so just having that community was very helpful, because as you know, we're always giving advice. We're always there for each other. If we have a question, we're always providing opportunities for one another. And so I just saw this post about one of the girls who, she did this TEDx talk, this specific one, this specific organization, I think the year before I did mine. And so she was like, hey, just want to put it out there. They are looking for speakers for this time, for this event this year. And, you know, here's the link, apply. And so I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm just, any opportunity, I'm going to go for it. And I applied, and they're, so I'm trying to think of what, they have different themes, right? So this theme was, I'm trying to remember. I mean, I know my TEDx talk was called Owning Your Superpower. Along those lines. It's been some time. Sorry, I just can't remember.
Yeah.
But it had to do with resilience. And so I just applied because I felt like my story fit in, and I was like, why not? And then, they contacted me, and this was an organization that was in Philadelphia. And so, I immediately said, yes, I'll accept. And kind of like, what does it mean to accept this? Is, you know, we have this team that we're going to help you, and we're going to, you know, help you structure your TEDx talk. And you'll have to fly over here. It was COVID time, so we had to pre-record it. And so, fly over here, Philadelphia, record it. And yeah, basically that was it. And then, they had a whole schedule too. Like, it was week by week, kind of like, what am I working on? When do I need to submit what I'm talking about? It had to be 10 minutes. And so, obviously I knew I was going to tell my story. But then like, what else after that? And what are some ideas that I want to talk about in not only telling my story, but like these certain lessons I want to provide. And so they helped me with that. And yeah, again, it was like a week by week kind of thing. And I just submitted my TEDx talk, and then they would make some edits. And then it became like rehearsing. And of course, so I'm here in California, so it was all through Zoom and video. And so I would have to rehearse with them. I had to memorize the whole thing and I had to rehearse with them. And then they kind of made suggestions of, you know, during this point of the TEDx talk, maybe talk about this instead, or, you know, changing things around, or also just the way I was talking and speaking. So yeah, it was a lot of different things. It was a really interesting journey and very, because they're very specific. And so it was really, they were super nice too, but it was very, yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to embrace it as much as possible and just have fun with it. And then when I did fly out there in Philadelphia, I took my mom and we met up at like a, I think it was like a co-working space where they were recording, or like a rec center where they record a lot of different things. And so I met the team in person and they were all really nice. And it was literally like just a little room and only certain, like the cameraman and the sound person only. And they said, oh, do you want your mom to come in? And my mom came in, they, which was really nice. And she was really happy about it. And she came in and heard me. And I did it. Yeah, I did it all in one take. And yeah, it was really cool. It was exciting. It was, yeah, I had butterflies, but it was like an opportunity that I was like, I need to embrace this as much as possible because I don't know when it's going to happen again. And this is like, yeah, once in a lifetime moment. And I also was just focusing on my message. Like I really wanted to get my message out there and just thinking, wow, what a great opportunity to have to speak on this platform, to have my voice heard. You know, again, this was like practicing gratitude of like, really feeling it and feeling myself with it and just trying to enjoy it as much as possible. And I got help also from my previous or prior acting coach because I used to pursue acting a long time ago and he helped me with it. And so that was helpful. But yeah, just so many people helped me and I was just trying to just remember it's not about me, it's about the message. And that's what I was thinking while I was doing it, when I was recording it, I was like, I gotta give my message. I gotta give my lessons. I really want to be able to help as many people as I can with my story. So yeah, it was amazing.
You are phenomenal. I was wondering, how do you nail down your talks and your keynote and everything? I'm wondering if it has something to do with not only your mindset about it's the message that matters, but also how you have so much experience with rehearsing. And you mentioned now even the acting coach background. It does all of that have a part to play with your stage presence?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that because it's yeah. I mean, I haven't acted in so long, but that's what I was pursuing for a majority of my life. I was studying it in school. And there was this draw to being on stage and I guess having that spotlight and just telling stories in general and, making people feel something, making a group of people, an audience feel something, from my own words or other people's words or just like that whole, yeah, just that whole setup of just being on stage and, so yeah, I think I did have a lot of practice, just from, yeah, studying theater and acting in general and acting, my acting coach. And so I think that really helped a lot, just being comfortable on stage and, yeah, speaking. And it's a little different now because it's like, now I'm telling my story. So, but I guess in a sense, it's just, at the same time, being vulnerable. So practice that vulnerability is what I love. So yeah, that really is helpful.
For someone who is terrified of public speaking, since according to statistics, it's a pretty high percent of at least people's fears, what would you say to someone who wants to grow their skills with public speaking? Any tips from your perspective?
A couple of things come to mind. I think the community part is really important. Like, I never knew there were so many speakers. And finding Mic Drop Workshop and then Mic Drop Academy was so helpful because there's something about just a community in general. When you have the same interests, you have the same struggles, and are able to be there for each other in those self-doubt moments and abilities, and you know, you're questioning yourself, and there's a whole community of people who are there for you, who are doing the same exact thing. So I think just finding that community is really helpful, or any type of community where you have that support and are able to vent, are able to talk about everything and have someone hear you out, or so community is important. And then the other thing I was going to mention was you just keep on doing it. You just keep on speaking, like, for example, like having a podcast, like that, it's so good to just have it be repetitive, like have yourself speak about different topics continuously. So that's what I'm trying to do, like just do more speaking in general. I maybe eventually want to do my own podcast just to get that practice and speaking in front of people. And then also just socializing, just that's practice too, of like your peers in groups. Just connecting with people. That's practice too, of just speaking about story, telling stories to each other, and talking in general. Like, I feel like that's practice. So yeah, just finding events too, any free events is really good practice, and whether that be virtual or in person. So that's what I've been trying to do more so.
Those are solid tips. Yes. I'm thinking about your acting background, and also now as a speaker, you have such a fulfilling calling, I imagine, sharing your story and supporting others. And your background, it must be filled with really fun stories too. Is there any acting story you want to share?
Any acting stories? What I'm proud of is I wrote, produced, acted in my own short film. And that was just for me, again, kind of similar to like when you were asking about tips about speaking, of like, I just want to get repetition in acting. Like, I just want to do anything and I can to be able to put myself out there, practice being vulnerable. I just created this. I got a whole team to film this and edit it, and I didn't do anything with it. It was sort of just like a short film that I wanted to myself to keep. I think that was a great experience, just putting something all on my own. I can't think of anything else. I don't know. Like, my days in theater school, I went to San Francisco State University, and that was really cool just to go to a school and study acting and theater, because I learned not only about acting or on stage, but behind the stage, what happens with costume. Like, I had to take a costume class and lighting class and stage management, like everything that has to do with putting a show together. That was really cool and just very insightful, and you learn so much about learning every aspect. So that was cool.
Those are such rich experiences. I'm thinking back to college days, and I needed to produce a short, kind of like a short film, not high tech or anything. It was for a sign language class, and so my professor was deaf, and I had to act out like giving birth, and I think I stuffed a pillow in my shirt, and I tried to like act that out, but I'm just thinking, whoa, I could have really used your direction with that, because It was probably like what you'd say a B movie.
That's so funny. But that's so cool. Yeah. That sounds fun.
So have you decided to leave acting, or will you still pursue it or keep an agent in your back pocket?
So I've chosen to not pursue it anymore. I made that decision years ago, and that was when I was getting more into speaking and coaching, and just finding out like that this coaching and speaking aligns better with who I am and what I want to, my goals for myself and whatnot. So, yeah, so no more. Maybe one day, but not right now.
Well, what you do has such a big impact on women, and if there's men in the audience too, then they can be so blessed by what you have to say. How can our listeners hear you speak or connect with you or sign up to have you as their coach?
Sure. Yeah. So my website is kellychu.com. So it's Kelly with an I, K-E-L-L-I, and then Chu, C-H-U. So that has all my information with coaching, speaking, and then my social handles where you can connect with me. I'm mostly active on Instagram. So my handle is It's Kelly Chu. But yeah, if you go to my website, you can just find all those things there of how to contact me and say hello. But yeah.
And what's one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
I would say embrace your journey. Just continue to be yourself. And I don't know, I just, this word of the day of like self-awareness, self-aware, being self-aware of who you are, who you want to be, what your goals are, your dreams, and just realizing that you can make anything happen. Again, you don't have to, there's no limit. It doesn't matter the circumstances, there's always a solution. There's always something that will bring you joy and for you to live up to your full potential. So I would just say, keep on dreaming, keep on being yourself, and embracing your journey, whatever that looks like to you, whatever makes you feel fulfilled. It's going to look different than other people's, and that's totally fine. It should be different. It should be unique to your own and who you are. So yeah, just keep being yourself, keep dreaming.
Thank you for being so inspiring and for sharing your wisdom, your story, your truth with us today, Kelly. I really hope that each person listening gets the opportunity to connect with you and to hear you speak in person, because your talk truly is transformational. And I am just so glad that I got a front row seat to your recent keynote, and hope to be in another seat. Like your mom was at your TEDx, I hope to be in another seat for your next talk. Thank you so much for being here.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much. This is great. This is so much fun. Thanks for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Echo and Encourage podcast. I hope this inspired you and gave you a fresh perspective. If you loved today's episode, hit that subscribe button, rate, and leave a review. Your support helps us encourage more people. Connect with us on social media or visit our website for more resources to help you live your best life. See you next time.